The first section, the exposition of the truth. 8. Sages say that there are four prerequisites for the realization of the truth. Viveka, discrimination between the temporary and the permanent. 2. Indifference to the enjoyment of pleasures here or hereafter. 3. The group of six qualities. And 4. The longing for liberation. 9 and 10. The six qualities are Sama, Dhamma, Uparati, Titiksha, Samadhana, and Shraddha. Of these, Sama is the control of the mind. Dhamma is the control of the senses. Uparati is cessation of activities. Titiksha is control of passions and includes endurance. Samadhana is, according to the sages, the settling down of the mind to reflect on the truth as revealed. Shraddha denotes faith in the master and the scriptures. Such are the meanings of the six terms of this category. 11. No one can achieve anything in the world without being properly equipped for the task. For the same reason, only those who are equipped with these four categories of prerequisites can gain illumination. A novice cannot get it so readily. If so gained, it follows that the person has been successfully purified in countless incarnations in the past. 12. He alone is fit for knowledge, who's suffering from the three kinds of troubles rising from the self, the elements, and providence, squirming like a worm torched by heat and panted a dip in the nectar of wisdom, so as to put an end to this series of rebirths. 13. As the desire for liberation grew, he became unconcerned about his wife, children, and property. Ran away from them like an antelope which has extricated itself from the noose of a hunter, sought a holy master and respected him with all his heart. 14. After eagerly saluting his master, he stood up and sobbed out of his heart, saying, O Lord, I have suffered long the torture of this worldly life, which is all after all so false. Gracious Master, save me by tearing off the cords which bind me to the five sheaths, so that my heart may be at peace. 15. The Master lovingly considered him, like a tortoise its eggs, looked at him, like a fish its eggs, and passed his hands over him, like a bird its wings over its eggs, and said, There is a means to put an end to your rebirths. I will tell you, and if you act upon it, your rebirths will cease. 16. At the very sound of the words, your rebirths will cease, his frame thrilling, his heart rejoicing as if refreshed after a bath in the spacious tank, tears of joy flowing like love welling forth. He held the holy feet of the master and prayed further. 17. Even if I, your servant, am unable to carry out your instructions, you can set me right by your grace. You said just now, there's a means to put an end to your rebirths. Kindly, tell it to me, and save me, I pray. 18. Finding himself self-subdued, the master looks at the soul of the disciple and begins to instruct him, so that it may be regained in its true nature, as a wasp places a well-chosen caterpillar in its cell of earth, and then buzzes it before it eats it. 19 and 20. Look here, my son. He who has forgotten his true nature is alternately born and dies, turning round and round in the unceasing wheel of time, like a feather caught up in a whirlwind, until he realizes the true nature of the self. He comes to see the individual self and its substratum, the overself, and he becomes the self-substratum, the Brahman, and escapes rebirth. Should you know yourself, no harm will befall you. As you asked, I have told you this. 21. Disciple. Lord, do you take me for a fool that you can tell me so? Can there be any in the world who are ignorant of the self? How then are they all caught up in the cycle of births and deaths? Tell me in the unerring truth, for I beseech you in full faith. 22. Master, only he is self-realized, who knows what is body and who is embodied. Disciple, who else is embodied but this gross thing? On this, the master smiled in pity and spoke. 23. You say you cannot find the embodied being as different from the gross body. Then tell me, who appeared as the subject in your dream? Or who experienced the sleep in which even the pain of the dream was absent? Or again, what is this consciousness in the waking state? 24. Disciple. Every day, experiencing proves that the experiencer in the waking state, or the experiencer of the dreams when the waking state is gone, or the experiencer of the deep slumber, must be different from the mind of the gross body. Yet it is not realized. It just flashes in the mind, only to fade away at once. Please explain this. 25. Just as people pointed to a tree on the earth to direct on the onlooker to the third day crescent moon in the sky, and pointed to the other stars to locate a constellation, so also the sage began to point at the gross in the order to make it known the subtle cause. 26. Master, the Vedanta as a whole mentions as the cause of bondage and release, superimposition, its effacement respectively. Bondage is caused by superimposition, release by its effacement. Now listen as regard the former. 27. Superimposition is seeing one thing in another, a snake for instance in a rope, a man in a post, water in a mirage, or a blue canopy in the empty sky. Similarly, the five elements and their combinations seen in Brahman, which is free from name or form, one and the same without a second, self-conscious and perfect, and products of illusion. 29. If you ask how superimposition gives rise to creation, the answer is the beginningless, jivas, remain unmanifest in avyakta, as in deep slumber. This state, by the generative thought, otherwise called time, then the deep slumber ceases to be casual, and the three gunas manifest. 30. They are sattva, rajas, and tamas, which are pure white, red, and black, respectively, or again, clear, turbid, and dark. Though equal, one of them will always be predominant. 31. This is one explanation. Another is as follows. The casual state, which remains unmanifest, later expands to the totality of the jivas, which manifests as the ego, wherein the three gunas became apparent. 32. Ether, like chit, is reflected in them. Of the three, sattva is clear and is called maya. Brahman reflected in this is Ishvara, the intellectual cause of the universe. Immanent in this all, untainted by maya or by the gunas. 33. This maya is the state of deep slumber, the casual body, and the blissful sheath of Ishvara. Chit reflected in this guna, which is not clear owing its constant agitation, gives rise to countless beings. The jiva in the state is known as prajna. 34. This is the blissful sheath, the state of deep sleep, and the casual body of the jivas. I have so far described the casual state of superimposition. Hear me now, explain its subtle phase. To provide the wherewithal of experience to the jivas, by the loving grace of Ishvara, who is all the wondrous powers of his inseparable Maya, then divides itself into two aspects, namely, dense veiling of reality and multiplicity of the phenomena. 36. In the latter of these two, there appears ether, from ether, air, from air, fire, from fire, water, from water, earth. All these five in the nascent state are called elements. From these arise bodies suitable for experiences. 37. The three gunas permeate all these five elements. In sattva, which is pure, there arises of individual functions, and also the mind and the intellect of the collective function. These seven products of sattva form the instruments of knowledge. 38. Then and there arise the vital airs of the collective function, of the individual function. These 17 fundamental forms, the subtle bodies of gods, demons, human beings, animals, and all other living organisms. 39. The jiva, united to such a body, is called Ishvara, and is the subtle body which comprises the three sheaths. This is the dream state. 40. So much for the subtle body. Now hear me describe the process of superimposition of the gross body. Ishvara, who is ever watchful, combines the five elements so as to evolve gross bodies for the jivas and objects for the experience. 41. Each of the five elements was divided into two halves. Each half was subdivided into four quarters. Then the major half of one element was combined with one quarter subdivision of each of the other four. This process gave rise to the gross elements from which the four classes of beings and their experiences, the universe and its worlds, were created. 42. The jiva, united with the gross body, is called Viswa, and Ishvara, under the same condition, is known as Virat. The gross body is the physical sheath, and their waking state. Remember, this brief statement regarding the gross body. 43. Disciple. Master, if these states become common to both, how shall we know the difference between the exalted Ishvara and the ordinary jiva? Master, the jiva is the effect and Ishvara the cause. There is also difference between the units and their totality. 44. The trees form the units. Their aggregate is the forest. Generally speaking, the mobile and immobile jivas are the separate units. Their sum total is Ishvara. This is the difference between Ishvara and the jivas. 45. I have said thus far what superimposition is. Only he is a jnani who knows beyond doubt that all that is seen is only ephemeral like a dream. Now listen to the process of effacement of superimposition. The way to wonder, moksha, which resembles the placid sky when all the clouds of winter clear away. 46. Just as one examines and finds out that it is not a snake but a rope, and this is not a thief but a quick post, so also one makes out beyond doubt by the words of the master and the light of the scriptures that the body, the world, the elements are only Brahman, unchanging consciousness. Know this to be the effacement of superimposition. 47. Cause and effect are the same, like cloth and yarn, ornaments and gold, utensils and clay. to resolve the body into its antecedent cause, as the root cause of all, is the method of effacing superimposition. 48. Disciple, you have said that the functions in two aspects, namely veiling and multiplicity. You have explained that the latter springs from desire. Tell me, my lord, the result of the other aspect, veiling. 49. Master, avarana veils the inner vision of all embodied beings except unexcelled Ishvara and self-realized jnanis. In the shape of it is not shines forth. In the same way as the dense darkness of a wintry night hides the sky, the earth, and the directions from our view. 50. Outwardly, this altogether obstructs the distinguished of the Brahman, who is perfection, from his modifications, and inwardly, that of the self, which is pure consciousness, from its modifications. It is therefore the sole cause of that chronic disease, the endless series of births and deaths. 51. The question then arises, whereon does the superimposition rest when the substratum is completely hidden? And how can there be a superimposition if the substratum is not hidden? The answer is, the substratum is twofold, generally and particular. Of the general substratum remains continuous and unbroken. Transient superimposition is particular. 52. In the world, the common substratum, this is, can never be veiled, but only the particular identity, this is a rope. Similarly, with the jiva, ignorance does not veil the substratum. I am, but it veils the specific knowledge. I am Brahman. 53. Disciple, how does this happen, my master? That the power of veiling is censured, the power of multiplicity, which arises as the five sheets, the jiva and the world, obstructs pure being from view. Master, listen to me in answer to this question. 54. Although the power of multiplicity is the direct cause of the misery laden cycle of births and deaths, yet it is also the service to those who seek liberation in earnest. Can the darkness of night be the same service for one's useful activities as the light of day? What more can I say to you? Therefore, my son, the power of veiling is more harmful of the two. Has one yet gained the release from the cycle of subsequent births because the world was totally lost from view in his deep sleep or dissolution? The power of multiplicity can altogether bring about liberation, but the thick veil of ignorance is the sole cause of the present calamity. 56. You may argue thus. Since the power of multiplicity is said to be superimposition, like the appearance of silver in the mother of pearl, and is therefore false, the liberation gained by the aid of this false power must be also equally false. The answer is, a fright dream, though unreal, ends in waking up the dreamer from the sleep. Even so, liberation is real. 57. Just as poison is commonly antidoted with another poison, an iron spike is extracted with another iron, arrows are turned aside by others, and dirt is washed away with other dirt, so ignorance, which is weak in itself, can be eradicated by methods which are themselves of same Maya. Later, this also perishes like the wooden pole that is used to turn a burning corpse. 58. Though this Maya, jivas, experience 7 stages of development as follows: ignorance, veiling, multiplicity, indirect knowledge, direct experience, freedom from misery, and supreme bliss. 59. Of these, ignorance is to lose sight of the fact that the inner self is no other than Brahman. Veiling makes one say that there is no Brahman. I do not see him. Multiplicity springs up as, I am a man. I am Jiva. Indirect knowledge is to know the nature of the self by the teachings of the master. Direct experience is to stay unshaken as the unitary being after inquiry into the self. Freedom from misery is to end limitations in the sense of the doership, and supreme bliss is the final accomplishment, release from bondage. 61. I shall now relate to you a story to illustrate this. 10 men forded a stream, and on reaching the other shore, each of them counted 9 others and omitted to count himself. They were all perplexed, because the 10th man was missing. 62 and 63. Ignorance is want of right understanding, and causes confusion. The 10th man is missing, not to be found. This thought is the veiling, grief at the loss of companionship. To heed the words of a sympathetic passerby who says, the 10th man is amongst you, is indirect knowledge. When the kindly man further makes one of them count the others and point the teller as the 10th man, the discovery of oneself as the missing 10th man forms direct experience. The cessation of grief from the lost man is freedom from misery. The joy of indubitable ascertainment by oneself is supreme bliss. 34. The disciple prayed, Lord, Master, pray show me myself, so that I may know it is as truly the 10th man did in the anecdote. Master, that thou art, the verb art, in the establishment is identity with the pronouns that and thou in their ultimate meaning. I shall explain how it does so. Hear me. 65. Just as the ether, though single, is fourfold as the wide expanse, the ether in the clouds, the ether in the pot, and the reflection in the water, so chit, consciousness, which is single, is called the all-pervading Brahman, Ishvara, the Self, and the Jiva. 66. Refer to the word that stands for Almighty Ishvara, and thou stands for the Jiva. But ultimately, they both mean Brahman, who is free from Maya, and the inner self who is free from limitations. They are now mutually bound up like butter in a boiled milk. Just as the milk is churned and the butter is separated, so also you should realize the self and thus stand apart. 67. The way to get rid of the trappings is to kill the present idea that I am the body, which is only a corpse after all, for it is a mere assemblage of 5 elements. Nor can you be the breath which moves through the nostrils like a blast of air blown by the bellows. It is simply a function. 68. Can the self be the intellect or the mind which stand to each other in relation of agent and instrument? These 2 sheaths are only modes. Let not the unedifying bliss of deep sleep be mistaken for the self, for it is only a mode of tamoguna. 69. Know thou as the self, to be Sat Chit Ananda, the even, unchanged, single, eternal, and all-pervading witness, and rid yourself of the trap of the 5 sheaths, which are of an opposite nature, false, insentient, and painful. 70. Disciple, when I disassociate myself from the 5 sheaths, and look beyond, there remains only a blank. I see nothing more than that. Am I to take this blank for the supreme experience of the self? Tell me this truly, my master. 71. On this request of the disciple, the master further said, In the anecdote of the 10th man, the deluded intellect, after counting only 9 men and not recognizing himself as the 10th, was stupefied. Can such stupor be the 10th man? Good son, you are the seer of all. 72. By the Lord under the sacred banyan tree, speak the truth. You are the unchanging witness of the gross, subtle, and casual ignorance, the waking, dream, and sleep status, and the passage of time, past, present, and future, which endlessly arise and fall like the waves in the ocean of bliss. 73. Do not ask, by what light shall I see myself, who am the all-seeing witness? Can there be a light to illuminate the self-luminous light? The 10th man who knows himself, such among the others. Is there an 11th man in him? 74. To argue that the knowledge is necessary to make knowledge known is foolish and leads to interminable controversy. You are neither known nor unknown. Realize yourself as the self-shining knowledge. 75. It is not because the nature of sugar is to be sweet that makes the sweet sweet. Realize yourself as the meaning of I, which makes objects known as this and that, and itself lies beyond them. 76. The self, as described above, is the primary meaning of thou. Brahman, which is never bound by limitations, is the primary meaning of that. Their secondary meanings are the transient jiva and ishvara, respectively. Two separate entities can never be identical. 77. The distinctions between Ishvara and the Jiva are due to their names, localities, artificial limitations, bodies, and capacities. They are as far apart as the upper and the neither regions. Their identity is unthinkable with these associations. 78. When the conventional acceptance of the terms appears inconsistent, the pundits of ancient lore began to bring out the true meanings by employing 3 methods of exegesis: disjunction, conjunction, or the 2 combined. 79. The house on the Ganges. The black remained and the red flag. This is that Devadatta. Are examples of the above. The apparent contradiction in several scripture passages are eliminated by a judicious use of these 3 methods. 80. In the example, this is that Devadatta. The man who was seen in another place and on another occasion, and also known as the Devadatta, is this man who is seen in this place and on this occasion. Although the time and place are different, a little consideration reveals the man to be the same. 81. Similarly, in the words that thou, their literal meanings include the consciousness principle, is taken as the Brahman and the witness, whose unbroken identity is established by art, so that the Brahman is the self and the self is the Brahman. 82. The ether reflected in the water in a pot and in the clouds are both circumstantial and therefore unreal. Whereas the space in the pot and the wide expanse are together one and the same. Similarly, all-pervading Brahman and the witness and the individual being are together, one and the same. You must experience it so that you may remain fixed in the realization, I am the reality. 83. On hearing this, the disciple, loyal to the instructions of the master, discarded the 5 sheaths and the blank, realized the self as I am the Brahman, who went beyond that and remained as a perfect being. 84. The glance at the master who was grace incarnate, the worthy disciple sank into the ocean of bliss, and merged as the undivided whole, as pure consciousness free from body, organs, and all else. With the mind made perfect, he became the true self, unaware while awake. 85. After the blessed disciple had remained in that state for a long time, his mind gently turned outward. Then he saw his glorious master before him. His eyes were filled with tears of joy. He was full of love and fell at the feet of the master. He rose up, came around the master, and with folded hands spoke to him. 86. Lord, you are the reality remaining as my inmost self, ruling during all my countless incarnations. Glory to you, who have put on an external form in order to instruct me. I do not see how I can repay your grace for having liberated me. Glory, glory, your holy feet. 87. The master beamed on him as he spoke, drew him near, and said very lovingly, to stay fixed in the self without the three kinds of obstacles obstructing your experience is the highest return you can render me. 88. My Lord, can such realization as has transcended the dual perception of you and I find the self to be entire and all-pervading fail me at any time? The master replied, the truth is that I am Brahman is realized from the scriptures or by the grace of the master, but it cannot be firm in the face of the obstructions. 89. Ignorance, uncertainty, and wrong knowledge are obstacles resulting from long-standing habits in the innumerable incarnations of the past, which cause trouble and then fruits of realization slip away. Therefore, root them out by hearing truth, reasoning, and meditation. 90. Checked by incarnations, fire will not scorch. Likewise, defective realization will not put an end to bondage. Therefore, devote yourself to hearing the truth, reasonings and meditations, and root out of ignorance, uncertainty, and wrong knowledge. 91. Ignorance veils the truth that the self Brahman and shows forth multiplicity instead. Uncertainty is the fusion resulting from the lack of firm faith in the words of the master. The illusion that evanescent world is a reality and the body is the self is the wrong knowledge. So say the sages. 92. Hearing the truth is to revert the mind repeatedly to the teachings that thou art. Reasoning is rational, investigation of the meaning of the text, as already heard. Meditation is one-pointedness of the mind. If every day you do these, you will surely gain liberation. 93. The practice must be kept so long as the sense of the knower and the knowledge persists. No effort is necessary thereafter. Remaining as pure, eternal consciousness, untainted like the ether, and thus liberated while alive, one will live forever as that, after being disembodied also. 94. The wise, remaining like ether and liberated, even here, are of four classes, namely the Brahmavid, Vara, Varya, and Varishta, in order of merit. 95. The Brahmavids, who have by steadfast have gained clear realization of the Brahman, continue to perform even the hard duties of their caste and stage life, exactly as prescribed for the benefit of others, without themselves swerving from their supreme state. 96. Should passions rise up, they disappear instantly, and cannot taint the mind of the Brahmavid, who live in society detached like water on a lotus leaf. They look ignorant, not showing forth their knowledge, and remain mute, owing to the intensity of the inward bliss. 97. Prarabdha, karma, which is now bearing fruit, differs in them, according to the actions in past incarnations. Therefore, the present pursuit is also different among the jnanis, who are all liberated. They may perform holy tapas or engage in trade or in commerce or rule a kingdom. 98. They would not think of the past or the future, would partake of what comes unsolicited, would not wonder if the sun turned into the moon, or at any marvel whether the sky were to separate its shoots down like a banyan tree or a corpse, were to be revived. Nor would they distinguish good and bad, for they always remained as unchanged witnesses of all. 99. Among the other three classes, the Vara and the Varya remain settled. The Vara feels concern for the maintenance of the body. The Varya is remained of it by others. The Varishta never becomes aware of the body either by himself or through others. 100. Although there are distinguished characteristics in the lives of different sages, who are themselves very rare in the world, there is absolutely no difference in the experience of liberation. What can be the use of hard-won in samadhi? The Brahmavid who is outwardly active seems sometimes to feel the misery of the calamities, whereas the others remain unbroken in bliss. 101. Now, if the Brahmavids live like the ignorant, how are they free from the cycle of births, and how is their ignorance gone? The all-pervading ether remains untainted by anything. The other four elements are tainted by contact of objects. So it is with the Brahmavid and the ignorant. 102. The immortal Vedas declare that the single-minded devotion to a holy sage is not only pleasing to the Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, but also secures the rewards of all the Vedic rites, and finally, liberation from the cycle of births. Now listen how liberation while alive persists after the disembodiment also. 103. Manifold karma in the store gathered by many births is also burnt away by the fire of jnani, like the cotton in a huge conflagration. Further, accumulating the karma can never approach the jnani. The karma which has brought about the present incarnation is exhausted by experiencing its fruits. 104. How will the merits and demerits of his actions during his experience of prarabdha cease to affect him later on? His detractors share the demerits and his devotees the merits. 105. The casual body of ignorance is reduced to ashes in the fire of the rare jnana. The visible gross body becomes a corpse in due course. Then, like a drop of water on hot red iron, the subtle body is dissolved in the self, which underlies these three bodies and remains absolutely all along. 106. As soon as the entity of a pot is broken up, the ether in the pot becomes undistinguishable from all the pervading ether. So also when the limitation of the body is gone, it reverts to its natural, eternal, disembodied state of liberation, free from the beginning, middle, or end, and in or out. 107. Just as the ether, through all-pervading, seems to be newly opened in a well, which is newly dug, so Brahman, even though ever-present, appears as if realized afresh by inquiry into the self as taught by the Master or the Scriptures. Therefore, O Son, be at peace. We are all always the same limitless being. The whole universe is as unreal as the water in a mirage. Silver and the mother of pearl, the city in the air. The dream land in a dream, the blue of a sky, the serpent in a rope, the offspring of a barren woman, the horn of a hare, the thief in a thick post. O sun, pure consciousness is alone real. Do not therefore forget the self at any moment. Thus ends the first section of the Cream of Emancipation.